Welcome to Live the Fuel.
Welcome to Live
Welcome
the Fuel.
To Live the Fuel. Focusing on health, business, and lifestyle. And now your host, Scott Mulvaney.
All right, good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another amazing co-hosted podcast episode here at Live the Fuel. So we've been busy today. For anybody listening to this new episode, I've already recorded like three other shows today. It's my busiest day yet. But I'm really excited to bring on our newest co-host here for you guys here in 2017 because I met this gentleman amongst many, many other very influential people last year at Thrive, Make Money Matter, the event in California. Prior to that, it was in Vegas. And actually coming up this year in 2017, looks like it's coming back to Vegas. So the really cool thing is this guy's a hustler. He's getting after it. He's a fellow fitness buff. He's also got a really cool developmental platform called the Resist Average Academy. So I'm definitely going to be digging in here from some self-development pieces for all you listeners know that I'm big into that, but also the health and fitness and wellness sector because you know I'm big into that too. So without further ado, another fellow Thriver, welcome to the show, Tommy Baker.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, Scott, for having me. Super excited to be here. Love what you're doing, and it's time to create some magic.
So I'm loving the fact that you have two different brands rocking, but yet they both work well together. And I don't know if everyone's ever really said it that way before, but obviously for our listeners, you got TommyBakerFitness.com. That's Tommy with two M's and Baker like baked goods, even though I don't eat them. And then you got and then you got your Resist Average platform, which is your Resist Average Academy, and you have the Resist Average podcast. And actually, I just learned a few seconds ago before starting the recording here that you guys are actually relaunching a whole new web presence too. So fast forwarding that a little bit for you here, but catch us up, man. Like, what's happening there? Why are you actually going with a whole new site? Like, that's usually something big happening.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, for me, obviously my first, you know, true passion in life was fitness. It was my first foray into really personal development, because I wanted to use fitness as a tool to learn more about myself, to learn more about what I had when there was chaos in life, when I was in the middle of a workout and my lungs were burning and my legs were burning and, you know, what I had in the moments of challenge. And so as I evolved with my fitness brand and, you know, I had two retail gyms back east, I started to ship the message that fitness was just the starting point and could be a catalyst for massive transformation in other areas of life. And so I was very big into that message. It inspired me even more than just the fitness. And so as I went on, I wanted to make sure, you know, I remember when I had my gyms and I would talk about this message, really half the people loved what I was talking about in terms of, you know, the catalyst for other areas of life, and they got it. But the other half kind of just wanted to be there for fitness. And then that's when I really you started to differentiate the two. And, you know, and that's why I wanted to separate them, because for a while they were intertwined. And yes, like you and I know fitness, you know, fitness is so intertwined, you know, with all the other areas of life. But from a consumer, someone out there trying to make a decision, I didn't want to confuse anybody. So that's why I kind of split them apart. But as you know, they're both integrated in some shape, way, or form.
So with the new web presence coming out, are you going to have like basically both domain names pointing to the same site? Not to get all techie here, but you can have like I have scottmulvaney.com, but I don't have a separate site. I have it pointing to livethefuel.com until I feel the need to launch something of a separate nature if I ever need to behind the name. Obviously, I was like, I grow public speaking and stuff like that. I may end up building a persona just for that. But in your case, so since you have that Resist Average Academy brand, are you going to have two platforms, or are they all kind of living in one home?
No, two completely different platforms.
Okay.
Because I want to make sure that if I'm reaching out to someone with a message specifically for fitness, they know where to go and it's clear and there's no, you know, right now, you know, I have my fitness website, and if you look at my blog posts, I have probably 50 blog posts. I would say 35 out of the 50 are about self-development, growth, transformation, and only 15 are about fitness. So I want to make sure that if I'm creating content, it's very relative to which platform it's going to. And so, yeah, they're going to be their own both dedicated platforms.
I'm impressed you actually are blogging, because I'm a marketer, right? That's my core gig. Like, I'm a sales and marketing professional, and I hate blogging. I just can't get into it. And there's a lot of knowledge to share, but that's what I realized, that the podcasts, is what just started making sense when I launched the show in September of 16 was I was like, oh, the epiphany clicked. And then I was like, oh yeah, this is much easier for me. Like some people are really good at writing and other people are really good at speaking. And yes. I'm the talker.
Exactly. No, and I love them for different reasons. I do love writing. It's one of my passions as well. I will be coming out with a book in late March, but I do like both because we all learn differently, right? Some people, you know, learn or love the audio learning. Some people love video. Some people love sitting down and opening a nonfiction book. And so, you know, when I read a book these days, I'll get the physical copy off Amazon and then I'll get the Audible because I want to engage parts of my brain simultaneously with the same content for next level learning. So,
interesting. Now, are you doing that? Because we talk about this. This has come up on a number of episodes that I just had on. Have you ever heard of Mike Michalowicz, the famous author of Profit First? And
yeah, I was listening to parts of that episode. Yeah, I have it pulled up right now.
Yeah. So yeah, he just launched today, and we were talking about that exact purpose. Like you now, which we just heard, it looks like you're going to be an upcoming author. Just found that out. So our listeners are learning right along with me. That's very exciting. Congratulations. And the cool thing about that is that, yes, you are exactly correct. I've talked about this before about how I used to do a lot of corporate coaching and it was so crucial. We had a consulting company and they did a great job re-educating us on the value of really understanding your audience and knowing that there is primarily three different types of learning. There's the auditory, the visual. This is actually a method called VAK, V-A-K, the visual, auditory, and kinesthetic learners. And to your point, like I will buy all my books on Audible now if the author was smart enough to release an Audible version. There's a little tip for the upcoming authors
out there. That's very surprising if they don't release an Audible version. You know, I'm going to be a first-time author. I mean, yes, I have big ambitions for the book, but I understand it's my first one, and you know, I have two or three planned for 2017. So,
wow,
a lot of times authors, especially self-published authors, will cut corners on the Audible production, you know, because you got to hire someone, you got to do it yourself. You know, there's a certain investment, but you're missing out on a key area, you know, marketplace. And Audible obviously has exploded there in the last couple of years, and audiobooks are becoming really in tune. So yeah, I like hitting people from different angles. Because there's different learning styles, different preferences. You can listen to stuff on a road trip. You can listen to stuff when you're at home, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, and to be fair, like Mike, he did the physical and the Audible. And I actually, just like you just said, I own both. One of the reasons why was I thought I could tackle the physical. And that was back when I was still making the transition hardcore into Audible. And I just realized that I travel so much for one of my clients. I'm always in the car. I'm just doing a lot of stuff, interstate travel back and forth in New York. So it's like, you know, I love being in the car because it gives me a chance to catch up. Like nothing else can bother me. I can just crush podcasts and Audible books. So I love travel. But there's certain books or certain content to what you're talking about. And for our listeners, I mean, here's some learning hacks from some fitness guys, I guess. I mean, we're using the fact that, hey, sometimes you got to literally slow down and just go back and proofread something and skim it, highlight it, you know, dog ear it, whatever you want to call it, to the book. And I've done that with, for example, Michael's book, Profit First. Like I listened to his Audible version probably 3-4 times. And then I'd go back through and I'm finding those pages and I tag them with little post-its or highlights or whatever. So it's interesting.
Exactly. And let's dig into that for a second because there's in our world, people who love personal development and success and all that stuff, there's this whole thing of like, how many books can you read in a year, right? And
like Ty Lopez.
Yeah, speed readings in. And I bought into this. In 2015, I read 55 books.
What?
But I'll tell you what. Once I got to 35, it became about getting to 55 so I can later on tell someone I read 55. In other words, I was not digesting and implementing the material, and I was getting in this consumption mode, right? Mm-hmm. And so this last couple of years, I've completely shifted. Now I'm going to focus on about 15 to 20 books a year, but I'm going to do it diligently, exactly the way you did, reading the physical, going through the Audible, not moving on until I've proven that I've implemented something, a concept from the book into my life or business relationships, et cetera, and also taught it in one of my podcast episodes, one of my masterminds, et cetera, et cetera. So that's what I call 360-degree learning, where less is more. You go deeper instead of wider, and you actually implement stuff in your life because, as you know, we're both consumers and creators, right?
Yep.
You're creating stuff on this podcast and in your platform, but you're also consuming. And for me, it's important for me not to get too caught up in consumption and make sure that the consumption I am doing is very deep. And then I'm spending the rest of my time creating. So that's kind of my new thing last couple of years. And it's really helped me just immerse myself in some of these amazing texts and stuff that we have available to us.
Well, I'm going to thank you on behalf of our listeners, because I love it when people, especially as a co-host, like I don't have to worry about me dropping the mic. You could literally drop the mic right there, because that's 360 degrees. Although we're both in really nice studios. Well, you're in a nicer studio than I am, but my home studio, I'm like, I'm not dropping this mic. This is too expensive. Yeah. So we'll virtually do that. But the point here is, like, that's how many people out there are not realizing that, you know, our lives change, right? As we get older. Like I still can't believe it. Like, I'm actually turning 40 this year. I'm like, what? I'm like, And it's funny, because I tell people that, and people are like, no way, dude, you're like 33. I'm like, well, thank you. I can thank my fit lifestyle for that. But it's crazy how when I was a kid, I would crush books. Then that turned off for a while. Then I went back to school and I'm like, okay, that did not like that at all. Then I, you know, withdrew from college and was in some startups, and then went back to school years later. And one thing that I've learned from going in and out, in and out, in and out, is this is normal, and everybody actually can change with their learning styles throughout life. Like, I might have been a visual learner years ago, but then I advanced into more of a kinesthetic learner as an adult student. Like, I actually enjoyed being in the evening class. I went back to college for an accelerator program to bang out marketing and psychology. Fast forward that for you. And basically, I actually was doing a lot of the classes online virtually, but they still required at least one day in a physical classroom every week. And I appreciated that, because I could just sit back and just listen and absorb. And I only had to take notes when I wanted to. So it was so weird, because I was basically reteaching myself where I was at in my life now and how I wanted to learn and study now. And I'm sure you can connect on this from not just what you just told us, but also back to the fitness world too, is that we all learn and develop differently throughout life. And I think a lot of people get frustrated because they think they can still do what they did when they were 18 versus 30 versus 50. And it's like, guess what, guys? It's okay to embrace things in a new way. I don't know. How would you talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, just you put it in a great way. And just we're constantly evolving. And that's in absolutely everything. So, you know, you're spot on, which, you know, we should take time to evaluate, you know, what's most effective for us right now, and really what we're drawn to. And that's how you really find out what, you know, for you going to that physical classroom, you could tell, like, you were drawn to that for a reason. And I'm the same way. That's why I love going to events. And that's why I'll go out of my way to, you know, there's podcast episodes and books that I've read 10, 20, 30, 40 times, because I just want to go deeper and deeper into the material and make sure that I've applied it. So we're always changing, you know, the way we learn, and there's different things that stick. And, you know, you might not even be an audible learner, and then you're listening to an audiobook and you're driving on the highway, and then boom, you get that spark that comes out of nowhere that you didn't get when you read the physical copy, that you didn't get, you know, in another place. And it changes your game. So
I mean, like, those moments when you have to, like, without crashing the car, you have to hit pause. Like, yeah, I've literally pause. I'm like, wait a minute. I got to stop right there and just absorb that for a second. And that's when you know, like, you're hitting at a whole different level.
Yes. And I love those moments. I love those moments. So for anyone listening, when you have those moments, make sure whatever you're doing, like, you know, pull over or whatever it is, but make sure to document those moments, because they hit you at that moment, at that certain time, for a certain reason. And so at least write that down. You think you'll remember it. You probably won't. So.
Oh. And on your point, are you a best practices here? Are you a Evernote guy?
Yes, big Evernote.
Right. So, hilarious thing is, I just started using Evernote years, you know, about a year and a half ago, and I've been hooked on it ever since. But I never really, like, it's just one of those things where it's like, it's a tool. So I just start using it, and then I just find stuff along the way.
Yes.
Just not even thinking. Didn't realize I could literally, like, load voice memos right into that. Like, I had a separate app for that just to leave voice notes. And then one day, like, I bumped the screen the wrong way or whatever, and it recorded like a 2-second blurb into my Evernote. And I'm like, what? So now when we have these epiphanies, you know, while driving down the road, I don't have to worry about pulling the car over or being unsafe. I could just quickly tap the screen and boom, I'm recording. Like I hit pause and then boom, I hit record and I get my thought out. And it's kind of very techie versus pulling over and just having a pen and a paper, but great for time saving anyway.
Yeah. And it's like, those are going to happen throughout the day. And the more you can document those, especially if you're creating something, but also just for your learning and your own ability to self-journal. You know, I remember when I was 2 years ago on New Year's Eve, I was outside of New York City in this frigid place. And I made a commitment, out there. And the way I made the commitment was to create a voice note for myself. And I said, by this date on this, at this time, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be in this part of the country. I'm going to be doing this. And, it was so powerful to put it into voice and to have that voice note. So I was able to replay that voice note time and time again. And then, when I did the voice note, it was about 1 year later, and that's the power of declaring a commitment. Everything happened within 6 months. And so being able to go back and listen to the voice note and see that not only did I follow through with everything that I said, it was beyond my wildest dreams. That's a powerful tool. So I love that whole deal with voice notes and using it as a journal, cause you tell some people, hey, it's so powerful to journal and write stuff down and all that. A lot of people kind of roll their eyes or they're like, they don't like, journaling, and it's like, that's fine. Like use a voice note and leave yourself some notes once in a while and see your rate of progress. It's so powerful.
Well, and to your point on this whole timeline thing, right? Like you were talking about a year, then it was a 6 month variable. I think that's important to clarify for people too. And this goes for whether we're talking about nutritional goals, body transformation goals, heck, going back to school, whatever. This is health. It could be business, getting a business going. I mean, health, business, lifestyle, right? Well, this is what we talk about. But be flexible, number one. Don't beat yourself up too much. Number, and then the other piece here that you just said is like, just start taking little notes. It doesn't have to be written. It can be verbal. It can be auditory. You can record it, whatever, because you just start building and acquiring. And I would love to hear that that little tip from your perspective from having to decide, we finally commit to writing a book. Because guess what? Writing a book doesn't happen overnight. You got to pull a lot of knowledge from somewhere. And I'm sure you were probably taking notes or something along the way.
100%. And, what's funny is that, a lot of people talk about writing books, people talk about launching podcasts, and, I launched my podcast, last January officially. So it's been, about, 13 months. But to be honest, I should have launched it 6 months prior to that because I had been talking about doing it and, getting overwhelmed with the tech stuff and all this BS, it was really just BS excuses.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Right. And so with the book, it's the same thing. And what's funny, I emailed my newsletter. I said, I'm writing a book. This is, hold me accountable, et cetera, et cetera. And there was this one guy who I don't know. I just know his name is Justin. I don't know who he is. Never met him or anything. The guy responds to almost every, so I write 3 newsletters a week to my list, and every third one or fourth one, he'll respond and he'll just say, "Awesome, man. Love that. How's the book coming along?" And so,
he's your accountability partner.
Seriously, a complete stranger. So it's so powerful. And so for the first 3 months, I had nothing to show for it. I didn't make any progress. And then finally, I made the decision, and then I was able to finish my book, which came in just around 36,000 words in 3 weeks. And so I'd spent 3 months ruminating on it, saying I was going to do it. Nothing happened. Made a decision. 3 weeks later, it came to life. So we can, once we make the decision, all these goals that we have, whether it's fitness, business, relationships, the time is literally shrunken and collapsed before our eyes.
Well, and it's funny. So, I mean, you and I obviously were able to connect thanks to that powerful Thrive event. And obviously you're going back this year because you and I have been commenting on all the posts together for as soon as they announced it's going to Vegas. Yeah. I don't know. I think you won in the end. I wasn't sure if it was you or me commenting more.
Oh, it's so funny.
I was having a blast. I was like, see, this is when your social media can be used for good. But
exactly.
I will, to clarify something for the listeners, it's like you just gave a great example with the podcast and the book and that's a lot of stuff. And I think with a lot of people who are holding themselves back to tag your brand, the whole Resist Average Academy, I'm not in your academy, but just from that name, and for me being a self-development and a professional development nut, it's important to help people realize that we are all capable of exceeding this, air quotes, average. And one of the biggest ways to start exceeding and succeeding is to give yourself permission, like to actually say yes to yourself, to actually make that commitment. Once you've done that, oh my God, like things just start happening and you'll figure the rest of the stuff out. I think the biggest problem is everybody's trying to put together a plan or a game plan, like with your hint on the podcast stuff. I'm the same way, man. I was probably, I'd say 2 months behind schedule to get that podcast going because I wanted to make everything perfect and I needed to have this and I needed to have that. And I was trying to figure this out and that out. And finally, I just ripped the lid off. I'm like, no, dude, like just do it. Just launch the first episode and get it going.
Exactly. And there's so much learning when you do that. And there's a guy on my podcast and he said, and I don't know if he pulled this from somewhere else, but he said the inspiration and passion that you're looking for are always on the other side of action. Right. And so starting anything new, you know, we're always quote unquote waiting for the right time. But if we just plunge into it, now we have real world feedback on what's going on. And also like my first episode, I feel like I did a poor job. Episode 30, I'm getting better. Now I'm 1 year down the line, I'm getting better. And so anything is quote unquote difficult and we have resistance about when it's new. But once we start getting good at it, we start seeing some results, we're getting a little bit better, we're going to the gym, it's not as difficult, we're launched our business, we're making some more sales, then it starts to become a lot of fun. So you just have to plunge in and get started as soon as possible.
Oh man, I need to go back and actually listen to my first episode now because today, like I said, today was a busy podcast day, but today I recorded my 50th episode. So it was really excited. Nice. You are going to be 51. So nice. Today's a big day. I'm like, I was just looking forward over the past 2 weeks to hit the 50. And then literally I recorded 49, 50, and now 51 today. So I was like, okay, it's been a busy day.
you know what's something cool that I did though that gave me a lot of confidence? When I was launching my first episodes or about to launch, I went back and looked at some of the moguls in the podcasting world. This included Jordan Harbinger, Lewis House, a bunch of others. Yeah, I picked like five or six people. I went back to their first episode and, you know, obviously I had consumed their content, their recent content, so I knew where they were at. But I looked at I listened to their first episode and like it wasn't that good. And it allowed me to be like, take the pressure off myself, knowing where these guys are right now, that they're like the moguls of the podcasting world, and going back to their original episode. And like, yes, like the content was good, but there was audio issues, delivery, some of the questions, et cetera, et cetera. So it just kind of was like, I was able to take a deep breath and say, you know what? They started somewhere. Look at where they are now. I just got to get started.
Well, and you know, even somebody like, for example, JLD, John Lee Dumas, he's one of the most famous podcasters out there right now because he literally makes millions thanks to that platform. He's just crushing it. And he's the first one to be that transparent. Even to this day, he reminds people like, guys, like his first couple episodes, he's like, he sounded like crap. He's like, I didn't sound like I was showing up and stepping up and being confident. And he's like, I listen to myself now and I go back and listen to that episode. He's like, we all start somewhere. I think that's exactly the biggest thing. It's like, whether we're talking about people, again, resorting back to health or your nutritional game plan or your workouts, like there's going to be highs and lows and we're all going to start somewhere. The most important thing is you're taking action and you're setting realistic goals and you're realizing that, guess what? It all gets better. It's okay. Like, just give it time. Everything can get better with practice, putting in the reps.
100%.
So that Justin, he said the guy's name was Justin, right?
Yeah.
So now, I mean, just to throw an idea at you, because I'm a marketing nut, you got to get that guy on your show, man.
I do. Well, once
that's your accountability partner episode.
Oh yeah. Once the book is ready, I'm gonna invite him on and we're gonna jam because, but that's what I want the listeners to know. Like, there are countless resources of accountability, and so I just had a stranger that I've never met. Obviously, he's a fan of mine, but I've never met him. He's never bought any of my programs or anything, but by me giving him value, he returned the favor by holding me accountable. Right. And,
yeah.
He's someone who really is going to be responsible for the release of that book because, he just kept asking me the question. And, you know, that's one of the things that with goal setting, with declaring, these days, it's a very double-edged sword because I've done the research on it. If you declare that you're going to do something, so you're going to do a weight loss goal, you're going to do a book, you're going to launch a podcast, et cetera, social media has the potential because so many people are going to clap their hands at just that declaration. Mm-hmm. They've done research and studies psychologically that the person doing the declaration gets the same feelings as if they have already achieved what they're looking to do, and then that many times they end up losing the motivation to actually get started.
Yes.
And in a sense, I think that happened with me, because I got, when I sent the email that I was writing the book, I got, you know, tons of replies. Yeah, you know, super excited. And then without consciously knowing about it, you know, I feel like maybe my mind was like, okay, that's kind of been done because you got a lot of gratification. Let's move on. And so just make sure that when you're doing these declarations, because they are powerful, that you do have accountability systems in place. And there are going to be people that are going to be like, okay, cool, awesome, Scott. Like, where are you today with the goal that you talked about 3 months ago? Well, and that's the highest form of respect.
I love that, because on a visual versus like how people are setting their goals, but also writing them down or being holding themselves accountable. Great. Yeah. I'm a huge social media guy. I do a lot of social media marketing, and I'm like, listen, love it. Love the platform. But I agree with your point. Don't depend on those comments. Don't get that super, super high. Like, literally the power of social media is you can post that declaration now, and yes, within 10 minutes, you could already have that high. Like, there's, because if people care about you and you are a good person, like, I have over 4,000 friends on Facebook. Like, I got a few thousand followers on my Live the Fuel feeds and all different platforms. So I'm like, if I posted it out there across all my platforms, I'm gonna be high as a kite in a very short period of time. But
yeah,
but it's like, and this isn't like to self-promote. This is just like, I'm being a realist. Like, that's my virtual world. And I want to use this right now. I think you and I should definitely dig into this. Guys, that's your virtual world. Yes, some of those people on that platform, you may physically go work out with physically, but that declaration is existing virtually. You need to, like, and for me, like, I used to think this was cheesy, but vision boards, for example, I got one hanging in my office. I did it like 2 years ago, and I haven't changed anything on it. And I was going to take it down because I redid my office a few weeks ago. And I'm like, no, I'm going to keep that there, because there's something to that visual. Like, and right in the freaking center of my board is the one thing that I still look at to this day, because it's still hanging here. I don't care what else is hanging on the board, but I have a whole bunch of blurry words. And then right in the center, in accented in red, it says focus, because everything else is blurry around. And right there, dead center is focus. So I can ignore everything else on that board, because that's the one thing that I get out of that. And that's why I keep that thing hanging there. And that's just working for me. I never thought I'd actually give a crap about a vision board. Because I found them on Pinterest, and I'm like, okay, these look really cheesy, and I made my own. But that's what's working for me. And that's
It's a trigger. It's an environmental trigger that reminds you. It gives you visual stimuli, and you don't even have to be looking at you. I don't know where it is in your office, but you could be having a cup of coffee and be engaged in something else. But even having it in your scope of vision, your subconscious is seeing it. And so I think it's super important for everyone to have these triggers, right? One of the things that I teach people with fitness in specific, when they have trouble going to the gym early, it's like, okay, cool. Set your alarm in the kitchen, and on your way to the kitchen, have your gym clothes ready to go. Mm-hmm. So at that point, you're already up. You've got no excuse of trying to find your clothes, and you have to turn off the alarm anyways. So if you can set yourself up with some of these triggers, you know, I lived in New York City for a while. I've always wanted to move west, Arizona. And finally, I made a decision to move west. But I had to figure a lot of stuff out in between. And so I would put pictures of Arizona sunsets on my iPhone, in the dashboard of my car, in notebooks. And that's why I was able to create the move to come out here, which required a lot of logistics, including strategically getting rid of a 5-year lease that I had just signed, because it was top of mind all the time. And that's what happens. That's one of the downfalls with, I love setting big visions, but you also have to keep it top of mind. Like, what does it mean? What does your big vision mean that you're going to do today on this Friday to move forward towards that vision? It's very important to address both ends.
No, I love that. And it's kind of funny. You and I actually have a lot of crossover here, because I too have lived in Arizona.
I saw that.
Yeah. So I never lived in New York City. That was actually one of my younger goals. And I used to go up there on business a lot when I was younger, and it wore off very quickly. Like, some people click with that, some people don't. I'm too much of an outdoors adventure guy to live there.
Plus the intensity of the city. I mean, I like it in small doses, but after living there with so much stimulus, that's why I wanted space.
And it is definitely overstimulating there. Holy crap,
there's,
it is.
There's no space. You just, everything builds on stacks on top of each other, including people.
and again, that's powerful. Nothing to take away from New York City. I mean, and for a lot of people, they find that creative.
Oh, people love it. You know, I did for a while too, but you know, what I found was, it was leading me to kind of this burnout place, and I needed space. I'm a big proponent of just shutting the mind down, unplugging, disconnecting, being outside. I know you are as well. And so to me, that's where I wanted to go, where a lot of people here in Arizona, I'm sure their vision is to go to New York City, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's funny because what brought me west to Arizona, and I don't know if you actually dug that deep in, but I came out there to do wildland firefighting and yes. serve as a hotshot with the federal government. So, and my base was 3 hours northeast of Phoenix, Scottsdale. So,
sure.
I don't know if you know that area or not, but you had to go up through Payson. So to go that way, if you know that area or not. That's not the, what was the highway called? The Beeline Highway. You have to go up the Beeline Highway outside of Phoenix, Scottsdale to the northeast, and you'll go through a town of Payson, and you go a little further, and there was a tiny town in the bottom of the valley called Pleasant Valley. And my crew was called the Pleasant Valley Hotshots. So.
Got it. Yep, I saw that. I saw that picture on your website.
But your training methodology, a couple of times on social media, I've seen you hanging out on Camelback Mountain.
Yes.
Been there many times.
I've been there 75 times in 18 months.
Nice. Well, so for our listeners, the funny thing is I have experience with two Camelback Mountains because I've been a USSA ski race coach at Camelback Mountain here in the Poconos of Pennsylvania on and off for 11 years.
Oh.
And then when I moved to Arizona, people are like, oh, you going to Camelback Mountain? I'm like, well, no, I just moved here. They're like, no. Camelback Mountain. I'm like,
that's classic.
What Camelback Mountain? Like, you see that giant hunk of rock that just sticks up out of a desert valley? So again, for our listeners, if you've never gone there, like Google Camelback and like Phoenix or Scottsdale, because it is kind of funny. Like, you're on a desert floor in a giant valley, and you have this amazing like mini desert metropolis of whatever you want to call it of Scottsdale, Phoenix, and then all of a sudden there's this giant rock formation sticking up.
So true.
And everybody just goes hiking and running, and it's super fit area. But yeah, I used to put on my big leather wildland firefighting boots, and I'd wear shorts and a t-shirt and throw my pack on for pack training, and I would just go and hike that sucker.
I love it, man. It makes me feel alive. You know, I do a lot of other hikes in the area, but at least twice a week, I'm blessed enough to, you know, it's February and it's 80 degrees today. So today I was out there again, and it makes me feel alive. And so for the listeners, in terms of fitness or even other stuff, you know, a big missing piece for people is simply doing things they love. And so just go to the places that inspire you. And for me, I'm inspired outside. I'm inspired training my body, pushing my body to max limits. But whatever it is for you, we all have these interests, these passions that nobody has to wake us up for. We don't care about time and space with them. We're just in it. We're present. And so the more you can sprinkle these into your week, the more on fire you'll feel with all areas of life.
And you got to roll with it, right? Like, I was 2 days ago, I was outside of Philadelphia, and I was down there on business, and I stopped at this brand new like outdoorsy mall thing, and I did a Facebook Live there because I knew the weather report said there was a big storm front moving in, and we were supposed to get a ton of snow. And I thought it was funny because it's sunny and it was 65 degrees, and I was eating lunch outdoors at the restaurant. And I'm like, okay, in less than 24 hours, actually in less than 12 hours, a storm was supposed to be dumping snow.
Wow.
So I joked around. I'm like, if the Weather Channel is accurate for once, I was like, I will update this post, you know, with me skiing. And sure enough, I woke up yesterday morning and we had 6 to 8 inches of snow and it was still coming down. So I, that's a fun day. So I'm not working. I loaded the skis up and a whole bunch of my friends also had a hooky day and we all went to the mountain and went skiing all day.
That's awesome. And that's one of the things I love about Arizona. You can go, it's such a diverse climate. You could be at 80 degrees down here and then drive 90 minutes or 2 hours up north and be skiing and, you know, be surrounded by snow. So I love diversity of climate.
Have you done much training up in Flagstaff?
No, not too much.
That there.
I know. I've been meaning to go back with my girlfriend.
It's like a little, I called it Little Colorado because it's high country. It's 7,000 feet. They actually have, I would actually go and do some networking with the, university up there because they have a high altitude, you know, fitness training facility there that a lot of international Olympians come to go train there for because it's 7,000 feet. So it's like it totally meshes with everything you're doing. I would love to see you get some networking advantage out of that. But there's also a great tattoo shop there. I had my Phoenix done there to help symbolize me remember the firefighting. But my wake-up call was I would kind of get my days off. And most of our days off, we weren't really released. We had to stay within a two-hour callback. So my fun was driving up out of our remote valley into the town of Payson. But when they gave us like a full-blown release where we weren't getting called back, I would go to Phoenix to catch up with my buddy in North Scottsdale. We'd hang out. And like most North Scottsdales, it was beautiful condos and not lots of pools. But in the middle of summer, man, especially as a firefighter, I was not thinking my rookie year, 2010. I'm like, why am I hanging out in 110, 115 degree heat? This sucks. And then I find Flagstaff. So it's like less than 3 hours away. Yes. It's like literally it could be 115 where you're at, and then it's like what, 90 or 85, 90 degrees up there. So
exactly.
It was blown. I'm like, okay, 2011, you know where I was spending most of my days off in the summer. I was up there.
That's awesome, man. I love that.
But you do have a vice diversity. You can go out. We used to go out and do training at that. What's that big reservoir to your east? A big lake. Everybody goes boating on it. I can't think of the name of it. But
it's Saguaro Lake or another one?
I think it's Saguaro. Is that the one that has all the stairs? We would do stair training and we would run the steps. There's a lot of steps out there and stuff. I just can't. I think that's the one. I think it's Saguaro. But yeah, I mean, it's just your area is awesome. And it's funny because people are like, well, what was it like living there? I'm like, well, it's a great area to remind you to take care of yourself because ASU is out there, and there's a lot of beautiful ladies who go to ASU and good looking guys too, I'm sure. But I was very impressed with there was a lot of people taking care of themselves in the Valley of Phoenix and Scottsdale.
Yeah, it's definitely like a fitness kind of mecca of sorts. But you know, what I do love about it, and you know, there's everything. There's the vanity training all the way to everything else. But people find what they love and they do that unapologetically. So whether that's yoga, whether that's hiking, whether that's bodybuilding, whether it's CrossFit, there's a huge just fitness community. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's inspiring. It's all about doing stuff that you want to do and going away from making fitness a chore and making it something that you get to do.
Well, I think that's the best tip there is making it something you want to do.
Exactly. And I believe that we all have, you know, something inside of us. We're primarily, you know, designed to move and to express ourselves physically. And so, you know, a lot of times we just cover that up with layers and, you know, we've had bad experiences at gyms or we never thought we were an athlete or we got cut from the team or we had a decade where we weren't into it. But hey, you can always reverse the clock. And, you know, I tell people, I've worked with people who have spent, you know, decades, you know, really just on minimal sleep in New York City, adrenals messed up, or, you know, eating poor nutrition. And if they just give me really a year of just consistent work, they can reverse a decade of that. So never too late.
Well, something else for a lot of people is that they don't realize that they think that it has to be complex or it's going to be a ton of work. And to your point, you just said a year, but in reality, when you commit to something, another thing that's kind of funny, small with the Arizona thing, I'm sure you've heard my nutrition company that I've been working with since I was a firefighter was Isagenix, and they're headquartered out there. And the biggest thing that woke me up was how to reboot the body after firefighting. That's what got me hooked on their stuff. And that's what started teaching me about the world of helping your body do its natural detoxing and cleansing, all that stuff, besides the athletic performance. And that's also thanks to that firefighting adventure. That also got me hooked on CrossFit because I had never even done CrossFit until I went out there. And our squad boss, that was the foundation of our physical conditioning. And I had been used to the traditional, you know, all the fancy gym machines world. I was a spinning instructor for 5 years. I've been a cyclist for, God, 20 years. So I never even stumbled across that type of stuff before. And CrossFit's now a huge name now, but back in 2010 and 2011, it was still trying to figure itself out and still grow.
No doubt. Yeah, no doubt. You know, I got into it in 2007, and that's when it was, you know, there was like this little online community, and people would post the workouts, and
it was like garage photos,
50 to 20 replies, and it's all about it's exactly in trying new stuff. You know, we put ourselves in boxes. You know, maybe we had a bad experience doing one type of workout or something. It's all about just trying new things and being open because you never know. To me, the biggest gift I can give somebody that I gave my clients back east was not just looking, feeling, performing better, all that, but giving them a new habit that fires them up, you know? And I've had people who thought they were never athletes, and then I saw them, like, you know, immerse themselves in the world of, like, Spartan races and adventure races, or doing adventures around the world, all that stuff like that. That to me is powerful. So the more you can, you know, try new things and keep an open mind, the more success you'll have with it.
Well, that's the wake-up call, again, for a lot of people here that we're talking about is, and actually, like, I was going back through your blog, and you said the word about variations. Like, you have that blog article on 5 deadlift variations, for example. Like, there are so many ways in life to create new and different ways of doing things. And that's, even in the CrossFit world, like, it's one of the taglines is part of the branding is, you know, it's constantly variable. Like, that's the point here, is that your body wants to get confused, and it wants to see new and exciting things. And maybe you're not ready to go run a Tough Mudder or a Spartan race, or maybe you're still scared of the CrossFit world or the world of high intensity interval training. But the most important thing you could do is break your life of its normal cycle and give it some challenge and give it something different. Now with your online coaching that you have on there, is that stuff that you actually help people with? Is that your virtual world? That way it allows you to obviously help people beyond the constraints of just being in Arizona?
Definitely. And, you know, I built that while I was building my retail gyms back east. But decided that I wanted to have a platform where I could work with anyone, all over the world. So, yep.
And now, so when you moved to Arizona, did you sell those gyms then?
Yes.
Okay. So you moved away. Have you stayed away from the classic brick and mortar business ownership? So you are 100% virtual.
Yeah. It was, there's a couple of reasons for that, but where I was, in the part of the world that I was living in, the overhead was just absolutely killer. And, rents outside of New York City, are just,
it's crazy up there.
Astronomical. And, you know, obviously, and then obviously you have to, increase your rates to make sure that you're a sustainable business. But just the whole model to me, also the model and also where some of my bigger passions were laying is why I started to move away from it. I'm seeing, it's very interesting to me. The fitness industry is very cyclical, and you go from big box gyms to boutique studios, group classes, virtual training. It's always kind of just moving and flowing. And so, people are always kind of looking for what's next. So I don't love the being constricted, in working with someone face to face in a certain location. Even though I did that for a very long time, but now I like to work with people, completely virtual.
I love that. And clearly you and I are on this. Well, I think you've been a little bit busier than I am in the CrossFit world, because I was actually poking around a little bit. You've been through a few levels of CrossFit certification training, I see, compared to where I've been at.
Well, I did them all. I know they revamped them. And so I never really like updated them, but I would go to the original ones. I've been to the ones where Greg Glassman was, and some of the very, James Fitzgerald, he's out here in Arizona. He was an original CrossFit Games champion. He was my coach. So I went really deep into that world. I competed in CrossFit for a couple of years intensely. And, it's still a part of my life, but it's not, I've relaxed, because there was a moment there where I was training like I was some pro athlete, and I was training 2-a-days, and it was awesome, and it was competitive, and it was fun, but it was wearing my body down, and it was also taking my energy away from other areas of life.
Yeah, and I that's a great tip here on just life balance, is that, and I did 2-a-days as a hot shot, because they wanted to break us down and rebuild us, and we were basically kind of like, kind of living and working as similar to an elite athlete, basically, because we were doing 16-hour shifts on the fire line, so that was a different world, and yeah. The accumulated exhaustion that came from that, man, my recovery was a lot. And I think that's an important piece that you're sharing with us too and the listeners, is that whether we're talking about your workouts or even like your business, like that whole lifestyle piece is around finding balance. And I think that's what you and I have discussed here today in multiple different versions here, from your story and even a little bit of my stories mixed together from the co-hosting relationship here, is that, guys, like, you got to find what works, and you got to pace it, and don't be afraid to change it up. And you don't always have to be a professional athlete. That's something that I think a lot of CrossFitters fall into. I'm like, as a coach, I tell people point blank, I'm like, I'm not trying to go to the games. never wanted to go to the games. I don't care. I love watching them, but I also know that that's not one of my goals because I love mountain biking and road cycling and skiing. And technically CrossFit is designed to, for example, get you ready for any sport.
Exactly.
But you can't specialize in everything. And I'm more of an endurance guy. That's the way my body's been programmed, and that's what I'm really good at, and that's my niche. So when I'm talking to my athletes, my guys, you will eventually be lifting more weight than me, and I don't care. Because if you go, if you're going for strength, or if that's what your body is designed to do, then play to your strengths. I'm 6'4". I'm 195, depending 190 right now, back and forth, depending on where I'm at. So it's like, I'm not looking to, you know, overhead squat 300 pounds. Like, it's just not in my goals.
And you know, it's important because I've seen this. I've seen people, clients of mine, people who have talked to me about this, where they went to a certain gym and, you know, it could have been CrossFit, could have been something else. But ultimately, they found themselves 3 months later and they're like, you know, they were doing exercises or doing, you know, having goals that they didn't even really want for themselves. So it's really important. That's why in my first studio, when I met someone, the first question was, what inspires you? Number one, and two, what's your definition of fitness? Right. And so, because if my definition of fitness is to go to the games and, you know, be all jacked up and do 2-a-days, and you just want to look better on the summer vacation with in your bikini and your bathing suit, there's a contrast there, and I'm probably not the best fit for you. Conversely, if your definition of fitness is to go on a stage and be a bodybuilder and, you know, win a pro award or something, I'm definitely not a good fit for you. So I think it's always important about having clear intentions, and the best trainers, the best coaches are really care about the person sitting across from them, whether it's virtual or in the gym, knowing they will happily send them to a quote unquote competitor or some other training system if it's in line with the goals that they're truly trying to achieve. So I think it's important to ask yourself, is my goal, or is my goal somebody else's goal?
I like that. And that can also transcend back to, you know, hey, maybe someone say, hey man, you should really write a book. And it's like, well, yes. Do you want to write that book? Is that actually going to be one of your goals or not? Like, I've been back and forth considering a book, and a few people have told me over the years, like, oh man, you should write a book about the whole transition of life, right? Of going from business world to / fitness world to being a firefighter and then back again. And I'm like, you know, I'll think about it. And it's been thinking about for like 2-3 years, but admittedly after leaving Thrive and meeting people like you and other people there, I'm like, it was kind of that was one of my biggest takeaways there. And after, especially after Lewis Howes, I'm like, man, like, I feel like a lot of us can be writing a book, but it's also got that goal needs to fit with your life at that time. And even last year I came back and I'm like, yeah, man, I'm going to write a book. But I'm like, hold on a second, Scott, let's see if it fits right now. Maybe that's a late 17 or even early 18 goal. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's very good to really be objective with our goals and understand that we have different seasons of life where they're going to make more sense. Right. And so, for me now, I still train like almost every day, but my training looks completely different. As you know, I had for a time I wanted to go to the games, and so furthest I made was the regionals, which is not even, and that was way back when it was so much easier. And so when I had to get honest, and I'm like, what am I doing? Like, this is what's going to take to get to this goal, and if I really wanted that goal, it was going to take fully immersing myself, 2-a-day workouts, and I think these days, a lot of people are using extra supplements to get themselves to that level. But I had to ask myself, you know, what do I really want in this season of my life? And the answer was to grow my business. And so I had to look at my fitness, which was actually taking away from growing my business, right? Mm. Because it's a law of diminishing returns. At some point, your fitness helps grow your business, helps until you're doing 2-a-days, you're exhausted. By 5 p.m., you're shot, your adrenals are messed up. And so you have to make sure, going back to that balance, that everything is connected and everything is flowing. So we have to, I talk about this in my mastermind. People join my mastermind for different reasons. Someone might be in there for business and that's their main focus. And for this season of their life, that's the most important thing. Someone else might be going through a relationship issue. And so they might think they have a business issue, but really fixing that relationship issue, working on themselves, working on that, is actually going to be the catalyst to allow for that business growth. And so, having that self-awareness is huge. It's hard to have it by oneself. I think it's important to surround yourself with people who are going to ask you great questions, hold you accountable, put you in coaching situations, and at least give you the power of perspective. And I think that's what a lot of people lack.
I completely agree with you. Perspective is something that I think a lot of people underestimate and don't realize how important that is. And because we're in that go, go, go society, and people are just afraid to take a deep breath and slow things down and take a few seconds just to get a little focus and figure out where they're going, what they want to do. Are you surrounding yourself with the right people? Are you going to the right events? Are you at the right gym? Do you have the right coach? I mean, there's so many different things we could talk about with that angle, but that's the point, right? It's like, get some perspective. Where are you going? You know, I don't know.
Yeah. And on a daily basis, like, you know, I go to the grocery store and you know, the moment I watch people, and I've done this myself too. The moment there's a lull, people pull out their phones. Like we, as a culture, we've killed the in-between time, and we no longer allow ourselves to be bored, and right, and you know, we no longer allow ourselves to just think, you know, have some moment during our day where we're just thinking, because everything is stimulus. So reflection to me is as important as action, because you can take so much action, but if you're going in the wrong direction, or you never have a moment where you can reflect and pivot, then you might be going in a direction that doesn't even make sense. And that's why I like to do daily action, weekly action on, no, reflection, daily reflection, reflection on Sundays. And then obviously every quarter do a reflection and see where you're at. That's super important.
I like that. It's a great tip. Well, Tommy, man, this has been awesome. I know that you, being a busy podcaster like myself, got probably more shows to do as well. So thank you for joining the show. Thank you for sharing this co-hosting virtual chair with me, the power of virtual technology. We can be anywhere, do anything. So for our listeners, I always like to give people that final word, and you just gave us some great tips and everything else, but this is just a chance for you to say, you know what, if our listeners forget everything else that they heard on this episode, which you better not, okay, and let's say you guys aren't auditory, remember, guys, we have killer show notes on livethefuel.com, so when you listen to this episode, go back, we have everything time-stamped, we have everything linked for him, so you can find Tommy on Twitter and Facebook and follow him, and we'll link your mastermind group, Tom, and everything else, but what is your message that over all of this, I mean, obviously, if you go to your website right now, TommyBakerFitness.com, you got no more excuses, but is there a bigger message, an umbrella over everything you've been doing since the gyms in New York to living in Arizona to this new mastermind group to you launching this new website? Like, what is that message you're trying to get out there as a whole to your future followers and your current followers?
I love it, man. It's a fantastic question. I could go in so many angles, but what comes to mind right now is a quote by Joseph Campbell. He says, if you can see your path laid out in front of you step by step, you know it's not your path. And so we each have fingerprint specific journeys that no one will ever have again. We'll never have the same genetic makeup, be in this time of history, have the same parents, live in the same part of the world, have the same collective life experience. And so, you know, I urge people to embrace that uniqueness, and understand that the journey, the process, the daily overcoming resistance and the struggles and the challenges and all the opportunities, everything in between, that is the win. And because so many times we are waiting to feel a certain way until we've achieved something. So everything's very conditional. When I lose the 15 pounds, then I'll feel this way. When I get the 100,000, then I'll feel this way. And I deeply believe, and all my studies have shown this to be true, that we have it the reverse way. We start with the feelings and injecting those feelings into our day, which are already available to us, and then we get more of all the tangible stuff that we want to achieve. And so I would urge anyone out there to embrace where you are in the journey, even if it's been a difficult one, even if you're not where you want to be right now, you are on your way. And just by listening to something like this, you're doing something that I think only about 5% of people do, which is start to live an intentional life based on your values and things that you love, not what others want for you.
Wow, dude, that was well said. But I couldn't have not said anything better. So hang tight, because I want to say goodbye real quick. We get off the line here. So again, to our listeners, guys, dude, Tommy Baker, man, dropping the mic virtually once again on this episode. So please check him out at TommyBakerFitness.com. Again, this is what it's all about, guys, right? We're here to fuel your health, your business, your lifestyle. Tommy is being a great role model and influencer in that. So check him out. Follow him. See what else he's got coming up here in 2017. A new book, new website, a lot happening. So again, guys, keep living the fired up epic life, and we'll talk to you guys again soon. Good day, Live the Fuel fans. Hey, this is Scott Mulvaney, your host and founder of Live the Fuel. I just wanted to take a couple extra minutes at the end of this episode to thank you for listening in, and I want to share some reminders on some tools and resources to help you with your daily lives. First off, again, thank you and appreciation for helping me grow this new show. We just launched in September 2016, and we're growing like crazy. So a part of that thank you is, number one, please make sure you're subscribed to the show. Whether you're using Google Play or Stitcher or iTunes, you can actually click on the show and actually subscribe, so that way you're getting automatic updates when I release my next episodes with my killer co-hosts. Obviously, you guys who are listening for a while will know I'm listening 2 episodes per week, so they get listed on Monday and Friday. If you're subscribed, you'll automatically get updated. All right, so that's just one request for you. Second piece of that is please, please, if you get an extra minute or two in your lives, go to iTunes. I know it's not an easy process, but go into the iTunes application, go to my show, Live the Fuel, and please submit a review. If you love it, 5 stars are greatly appreciated, but this is the one thing that's gonna really help me get the show ranking and really help grow it and keep me going down the road. All right, thank you. Please submit a review. I would greatly appreciate it. Back to stuff for you. If you go to livethefuel.com, I have a free resources guide on there. It's called the Super Sevens Resource Guide. I built it about a year or two ago. It's got over 21 different tools and resources that help me get my business going online, different things I've used to help influence positive change like health, business, lifestyle influences. These go basically from ebooks to Audible books to other podcasts, you name it, it's in there. All you have to do is opt into my email list and you'll automatically get a link sent back with a PDF for you to download that for free. So thank you for listening. That's one of your free giveaways for you, just for hopping on my email list and staying in touch. All right, that said, trusted affiliations, these are resources to help you guys, okay? I have a resources page on livethefuel.com. If you go there, first off, if you're a podcaster or a up-and-coming podcaster, on the business section on the resources page, eva.fm. He is the behind-the-scenes guru that's been keeping my show going. Martin Hollins founded it. He's out of the UK. He knows how to get you the best audio editing or any other tools or resources that's going to help you launch a successful show. So shout out to Martin. I cannot do this without him. Thank you. All right, guys. Health tools, real quick. I'm almost done for you. Villa Capelli olive oil. I have a discount code now with these guys. This is the purest, most amazing tasting olive oil that I've ever had in my life. I've been using them for over a year. They're awesome. And they've now given me a discount code. If you use F-U-E-L, fuel, at checkout, you get an additional 10% off your order. So again, if you go to livethefuel.com/resources, click on their logo, go shopping, and you'll thank me later. Also, Pure Vitamin Club. We've had the founders on the show on different episodes, Vinny Tortorich from Fitness Confidential and Andy Schreiber. These guys have developed the purest vitamins that I've ever seen. No fillers, no additives. They have a killer multi-cap and an amazing magnesium supplement. Again, I am an affiliate, so go ahead and just click on their logo and you'll get in there and actually check out some amazing, simple, and so cost-effective vitamins. Just, you'll thank me later as well. And last but not least, Isogenics. Some of you guys are into it, some of you guys are not. Those of you guys who aren't into it and you've been looking for a change, please consider working with me. I have been doing this since 2010. It's one of my side hustles. It's not my primary hustle, but I only put the best stuff in my body. And they have some of the best supplementation, meal shakes, bars, you name it. I've been using them since I was a wildland firefighter. I've helped family, friends, lots of people lose lots of weight, also improve fitness performance. I'm a CrossFit coach. So again, if you guys are at all interested, go to my website, click on schedule, find a 15-30 minute window. We'll sit down and chat virtually, webinar, phone, whatever. But that's a way to get on my schedule and we'll talk more about that. All right, guys, I'll let you get back to your days. Thanks for listening to Live the Fuel. I'll talk to you guys again soon.
Thank you for listening to Live the Fuel. Visit us at livethefuel.com. Stay connected on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and more at Live the Fuel. Live the fired up, epic life. Hashtag Live the Fuel.